the issue of two who said, hey, the same Tom. But whether it be from, the Rambam broadens the issue. Now, before I go further, I've been making the point that when a dying gets up to present his verdict or to present his decision in the Sanhedrin, there are two components to it. One component is, what is your verdict? Guilty or innocent? However, let's ask ourselves this question. Is he obliged to give a tom? Is he obliged to give a judicial reasoning, the reasoning, the horah? What the Gemara is referring to as the tom? Or no, he could just get up and say, I think he's chayav. My understanding of halakha. Now, we've been making the point that the tom is an essential component, that it doesn't have the status of being a horo. We don't count it as anything if he just gets up and says chayav, or he just gets up and says putter, but he has to state his reason. That's why you have this whole issue of writing down the reason and so forth. Now, take a look at the Rambam in Perek Yud. Seems that the Rambam makes this point openly. That's in Halacha Dalet. Amar Echad, see in Gimel he says, Talmud, Shoye Mazaka Umeis, a Talmud who was Mazaka and died, Rowan Oso, Shiluhu Mazaka Bimkoma. We view it as though he's still Mazaka. Okay, we've discussed that already. Now, in Halacha Dalet, Amar Echad, here he doesn't say Talmud. If anyone, the implication is, it would seem, it's a dayan, it's a judge. Yeshli belamed olav schus. If he said that he proposes, I'm going to get up and I'm going to argue for innocence, say some belamed schus. I mean, v'nishtatek. And then he was silenced. Whatever. He had a stroke. He went into a coma. He can't speak. Didn't enunciate. Obviously, he didn't come to in time for the trial. So we don't know. I mean, he could have said the same thing if he died. But that's what we're talking about. All right, when we go around the room, when each judge gets up, so he introduces what he's going to do. He's going to malamed. He's going to argue. He's going to argue for schus, or he's going to argue for chov. And then, of course, he's going to present his argument. So there's got to be a judicial argument. Now, it seems to me, would be the defining case. If somebody got up and said that he's going to argue for schus, and then he fainted. And as I said, he didn't come to in time. He never argued the case. He just said, that's my position. Oh, mace. Or he died. Kodem sheyolamet schus. Before he was able to state his argument. So what's the halacha? What do we do? Do we count it as a schus? Or don't we count it as a schus? V'yomar, if he died before he argued his case, V'yomar me'ezet tam mezake. What's the reason? What's the basis? Harezet k'misha'eno. We don't count. He's not counting. So you see from this, how would you explain this? What do you see from this? It's not a vote. If it was a ballot, if it was a vote, so you vote like in the election. You vote Democrat, you vote Republican. Then you have to state your reason. Right? You just say who you vote for. You're lucky if they get it straight, because it's not even clear. But that's what they should have done in Florida. In Florida, they should have stated their reasons. Then they would know whether to choose a really voting for Buchanan or not. But anyway. Here, it's a different phenomenon. It's not a vote. It's a decision. It's got to be a horah. And the essence of the horah is the tam, the psak. It's a tshuva, so to speak. What's a tshuva? That's a loose comparison. It's not a tshuva. When you ask a ra, you know, you ask a shiloh, so you get a tshuva. And that's a different case, because the if the Rav wants to, he can just tell you it's mutter or it's us, he doesn't have to give you the... But essentially, what constitutes, if that were the situation in a trial, what constitutes subsak is not the result. What constitutes subsak is the underlying reasoning behind it, and then the decision. So the tamad davar is part of the essence of the psak. And I think that's what the Rambam is saying over here, that because we just learned that if you're mazaka and you died, so we can count it, even if you're not there at the time of the final tally. But we'll count it, because he voted. We can count him as one of the mazakin. But that's only if he was a mazaka. Zika. What does Zika mean? He made his case. And the case stood up. Obviously, it's mamish, or the case stood up. It's a case. If it's not a case, if it's clear to everybody that he doesn't know what he's talking about, so you throw it out. But it's a case. We may not agree. I may not agree, but that's your opinion. As a dying, you have a right to a judicial opinion. Now, in terms of the reason behind this, we could speculate. I would say there's more than one reason. Now, obviously, there's going to be a debate. It's part of the whole process of mishpat. Because there's two phases. There's the deliberation phase, where they debate each other. Then you have the final count, verdict phase, different phase. So no question that in terms of mishpat, in terms of justice, in terms of the arriving at the truth, and certainly in terms of the obligation of the tzilu, the attempt to save the person. So we want to know the reason of those who vote guilty. The guy just says guilty. So I can't involve in it. I can't be involved in trying to save the person if I don't know what your reason is. So the objective is to create a debate. And in the course of that debate, it's set up in such a way that it's tilted in the favor of the tzilu. Because in the debate phase, those who argued for schus can't change. They're locked in. They cannot argue. They can't become debaters. That's their debating position. However, the ones who voted for conviction, they're not locked in, because the real objective is to win them over. Because through the process of mishpat, we're going to try and do whatever we can do to save them. Okay. But that's a purpose. Clearly that's a purpose. But I would say even more fundamental, that it's nothing happened. That's not a decision. Your job is as a judge. You have to render a decision. It's not a decision if you just say guilty. That's not a decision. Decision is the ideas, the reasoning, what the crime is, and what the, whatever the reasoning behind it is. Why do you maintain that this person is guilty? Why do you maintain that? That's the tam hadavar. So that's very, very important. Okay. So now we have this phenomenon that the reason why we write down the tam of the mezakin, of those who voted for acquittal, says the Gemara, is because of this possibility. Let's say two judges both said the same tam. They're both arguing innocence for the same tam, except in terms of the source in the Torah. Now, back to the Torah, you derive it from this pasuk, and there we disagree. You derive it from a different pasuk. So the question arises, is that to be counted as two votes for schus or not? It would seem from the Gemara's conclusion, this is an Ibaya, it would seem from the Gemara's conclusion, and I say it would seem because we haven't really done the Rambam yet, so who knows, but from Rashi, the way Rashi learns, and from the conclusion of the Gemara, is that this came, one of them is making a mistake. So even though I can't point out who's making the mistake, and even though in a general sense any dayan at any point can be making a mistake, and the truth is that if he realized afterwards that he made a mistake, he can't bring him back and retry him, because once he's been found innocent, he's immune. Naki v'tzadik. It's tzadik, but then that's it. Once he was found, that's the origin of the idea of double jeopardy. There's no, he's immune. Bezdin found him innocent. As long as it was considered a legitimate mistake, so to speak. So we don't know. Dying gets up, I disagree with him. So what? I have a right to my mind counts and his counts. Because we don't know. But if they're both saying the same tam, if they're both saying at the same time, but from two different psukim, so now we know that they both can't be right. Ah, well, that depends upon a very significant matter, as far as the Torah is concerned. When the Torah, the structure of the Torah, is it possible that the Torah will have two different psukim teaching us the same point? So that's the next phase. The Gemara goes into that and says that no. Now one pasuk in the Torah contains many ideas. You can derive many ideas. Lo soch lo ha'adam. From the pasuk of lo soch lo ha'adam, you learn many different things. Like by a carbon, you can't eat from the meat of the carbon before the sprinkling of the dam. We also learn something else from the lo soch lo ha'adam. You can't eat before you daven. Interestingly enough. It's all different manifestation of lo soch lo ha'adam. You're not allowed to eat before you mispawel al dimchem for your life. So, you have a situation, it's called lav shebeklolos. That's lav shebeklolos. You have one lav and it covers many, in the framework, in one structure, in one type of a wording of a pasuk, it included many different idea prohibitions. That can be. But the Torah will not have two separate psukim. I don't mean repeating the pasuk. You have Mishnah Torah, that's repeating. I understand that. That many of the things in Shemos were repeated in Devarim. That's something else. But to have two entirely different psukim, and you're going to interpret that it's really saying this halacha, that is, this halacha is derived from pasuk A, and this halacha is derived from pasuk B, which is an entirely different pasuk, and I can show you that both of them are saying the same thing. Well, that's the question. Does the Torah operate that way? And the answer of the Gemara is, no, it does not, so therefore it cannot be, so one of you people are making a mistake. That's the way Rashi learns it. And therefore we can't count. If we have such a phenomenon of two mezakin, even two mezakin, or two mechayvin then. Two people voted for Chov, they gave the tam, stated the pasuk. It's the identical tam. Two different psukim, only one of them is right. We don't know who is right. But we'll only count it in our tally for Chov. We'll only count it in our tally for Zchus as one. Okay, take up the Rambam. There's a controversy over here. We're going to go through the controversy. The Rambam in Perek Yud. Where he says, Shnayim sha'amru tam echad. Two who said one tam. The same tam. Afilu mishnei mikros, even from two psukim, from two different psukim, ein nimnen ela b'echad, are only counted b'echad as one. Okay. The problem with the Rambam is, it would seem, by use of the word afilu, even from two different psukim, would mean that what about if it's tam echad from the same pasuk? Let's say they say tam echad from the same pasuk. Now, what would you have said? The way we've been learning all along, that's fine. They agree with each other. The only problem of tam echad mishnei mikros is that can't be. They both can't be right, so therefore it's a mistake. There's a mistake. But if they both say at the same time, I agree with you. Yeah, so what's wrong with that? So why can I count two? It should be counted as two. That's what you would derive from Rashi, from Tosfos, right? That's the way. And that's the whole idea of the Gemara. What was the whole idea of the Gemara? The whole idea of the Gemara was to show you that you won't have such a phenomenon. You can't have a phenomenon like that. That, you're not going to have one tam from two mikros. So now, what does the Rambam mean? That's the difficulty. What does the Rambam mean when he says, afilu, mishnei mikros? To the contrary, it should only be one of shnei mikros. But if it's not, if it's from Kro Echad, Mikra Echad, it should be fine, it should be counted as two. That's, yeah, there's another question that's being raised, which is true. the difficulty in the Ram is not only that, in the case where it's Tam Echad from Mikra Echad, he seems to be implying that it's only going to be counted as one. However, he goes on to say that even in the case of Tam Echad Mishnei Mikros, that is to say, that's the case where we're saying, yeah, that case it should only be counted as one. But the way the Rambam is learning, even in that case, where I would say there's more reason to assume that it should be counted as two, even in that case, it's only counted as one. Yeah, that's another problem in the Rambam. Get it clearly. The Rambam has learned that of these two cases, Tam Echad, from one, yeah, these are the two possibilities. Tam Echad from one mikra, Tam Echad from two mikros. Right? The Rambam is saying that there's a greater reason, a greater argument to count it as two, to count it as two in the case where it's Shnei Mikros. That's what he seems to be saying. So that's another problem. We're saying no. To the contrary, the only time they'll have a problem is when it's from two different sukkim. We're saying that we're questioning him on both. If it's from one, if they both say the same time from the same pasuk, what's the problem? Why can't you count it as two? Right? And if it's from the way we understand it, if it's from two different sukkim, so you have to eliminate one because there's a mistake. The Rambam is saying, no, there I might think you would count it as two. Oh, but Afilu, even there I'm gonna count it as one. Only count it as one. So the Rambam is difficult on two counts. We're gonna check the Iri. We did the first part of the Meiri, and he comes because he says that you have to write the Talmud even according to Rav, which the Gemara wanted to use a different defense. So he says, when we call Makom though, Katin Kachu. Nevertheless, he agrees with the Gemara. But Salomar, Sheshnayim Shamru Tam Echad. Two who said the same reason, Ein Nimnan Ela B'Yechad, are only counted as one. V'Yafilu L'Schus, even L'Schus. Well, that I feel we understand, because obviously we are more lenient in favor of Schus. Philosoph Dava, Sheyotza L'Shneihem Mimikra Echad. And not only if they derive the Tom from one Mikra, Ela Afilu even in that case, where each one derives this from a different pasuk, shall call upon him echemayim toa, because at all events, one of them is toa, one of them is making a mistake. She yafshel shnei mikros, she yavar all the time echad, because it's impossible that two separate psukim could be there for one time. Vushamru, and that's what the Gemara said. Mikra echad yotzel kamatam. One pasuk can teach you many reasons, many ideas. The ain't tam echad yotzel mishnei mikros. Yeah, I understand, but then if that's the case, he seems to be embracing that reason when it comes to two different sukkim. He embraces that reason because that's an impossibility. Yeah, but if that's the case, so what is the problem? He doesn't tell us what is the problem where it's tam echad from mikra echad. Shach. In Choshen Mishpat. All right, that's in Simon Chafei. Sifkat on your test. So he writes that he solves the problem. He sees the problem, obviously. He solves the problem in a very simple way, saying that whoever put the word afilu in, it was a mistake. Toa sofer. You got to take the word afilu out of the Rambam. Well, that could be. That could be. The reasoning of the Shach is, this is something we said in the Shir, that this idea of counting as one, that if two people say the same reason, we only count it as one. If you're going to say that, it's going to lead to what would seem to be absurd results. For example, generally speaking, the more people that agree, the more likely it's the truth. So what are we going to say? Let's say we could have 20 dayanim acquit. And they all say the same reason. Acquittal. So you have 24 acquittal. And you only have 3 for conviction. But those 3 for conviction, each one has a different time. So if you're going to tell me that all these 20 you voted for acquittal only count as one, and that's the way we do it, we don't really vote. Each person doesn't have a vote. It's sort of, so to speak, it's only a position. It's only you vote positions. How many positions of schus? Which is the whole idea doesn't seem to be appealing. It doesn't seem to make sense. But then you're going to have this result that the 20 voted for innocence, but they only count as one. 3 voted for guilt, but they count as 3. So 3-1, and he dies. It just doesn't seem to make any sense. That's the problem. We're now turning to Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Gimel. The Rambam gives an overview of all the different steps in an actual trial. So I'm in the middle now of Halacha Gimel. After the Kabbalah Sa'edus, so we fulfill Poschim L'Schus. And what that means is we tell the Nidon, if you didn't sin, don't be afraid. Then, if imatu lo schus, if they found for him a schus, potrinoso, they acquit him. What does that mean if they found for him a schus? What do you mean they found a schus? Apparently it means that you have a majority. I guess, yeah, right? Because we said that for acquittal, you can conclude the trial on day one. You don't need 2 days. If it's if the majority at the end of day one are for conviction, you can't be going over the day, and you got to overnight, give more time to think. Review. Maybe there's a flaw. The imlo matu lo schus, and if they didn't find schus, osrin oso ad lamacha, they, so to speak, lock him up until tomorrow. Then uvov yom is daving in asanhedrin zugos zugos. Then the remainder of that day till the next day, what the purpose is to continue to study and analyze. So what they break up into partners, as we said, chavrusas, lie in bedino, to study in depth, umamat and mamachol, and they're supposed to minimal, you know, eat, not eat, and vein shows and yayin, they're not allowed to drink wine because they can't get distracted from being involved in the consideration, the thought about the trial. Kolos ayam, the entire day. Venosin, venosin, bedavar, and they continue to study the matter up and back, up and back. Kol halayla. Kol echad b'yechad emzuk shalom. Each person with his partner, his study partner. Oh, ematzmo b'veso, or by himself in his house, you know, however he wants to, however he learns better. Ulamacha mashkim edvayin lebezdin. Then the next day they come to Bezdin. Hamazaka omer, the mazaka says, anihu hamazaka, mazaka anivim komi. I am the mezaka, and I continue to be mezaka in my place. V'machayev omer, and the mechayev says, ani mechayev bimkomi. The mechayev has a choice. He could say that I'm still a mechayev. O chazarti, or I changed my opinion, v'ani mezaka, and now I'm mezaka. Then he brings this in. V'yimto b'davar, and if they erred in the matter, v'lo yadu mihem shechayvo, oziku mitam echad, and they don't know who are those who were mechayev or were mezake from one tam. She'ein or nechshavin ela biyechad, they're only considered to be one. Kamosha biyarnu. Hare sofrei hadayanin maskirin osan. The sofrei hadayanin remind them. Sharehein kosvin tam shal kol echad v'yechad. Because they write down each and every person's tam. Umaschilim bedino, and then they start the actual din, the trial, the judgment. In matzulo schus patru. If they find for him a schus, they patru him. And if they need to add, then they add. Rabu Hamachaiven, v'nishayev motzino solahargo, and so forth. If the mechayven were in the majority, became the majority, and they convicted him, then they bring him out to be killed. Strange the way he brings this down. First of all, what do you see from this? The Rambam here too saw fit to introduce the idea that if two people said the same decision from one time, that they're only considered to be one, as I've already explained. But here he did not mention from two different sukkim. Did not mention from two different sukkim. Okay? So, that would seem to be a question on the shach. Because if you remove the word afilu, and the Rambam's principle is that the only time they counted be'echad is when it's from two different sukkim, right? So then over here, what should the Rambam have said? That in tov b'davar v'lo yadu mihem shechayvu oziku oziku mitam echad. We don't know who was mechayev or mezaka mitam echad. She'enu nechshavin ela b'echad. Then he should have said, we don't know mihem shechayvu oziku mitam echad mishnei mekraos. He should have added, because that according, right? If you want to say that's the Rambam holds, he should have added those words. I guess the Shach would say, no, he said Kemosha Biarnu, as we've explained, and whatever. But that seems to be the fact that over here the Rambam, this is a second case where the Rambam's language is in line with the idea that as long as they said the same time, even from the same Pasuk, from the same Mikra, it's only counted as one. That seems to strengthen that case. Again, the general difficulty over here of the implication that the verdict is not decided by how many people think he's innocent or guilty, but by how many reasons it can be adduced for innocence or guilt. This doesn't make sense, as we've seen. It's in Gimel, even in Halacha Gimel, where the Rambam brings down this point again, that we don't know who. Two that said from one reason, or two reasons. So then we have the scribes, right? You know, because that's their purpose. But where does he bring that in? He doesn't bring it in where you think he would bring it in. And when we're counting the votes, he never says that explicitly anywhere. That if that's the case, we only. Counted it. He doesn't say that. He says it when they set themselves up on the second day for the debate phase, for the Masu Magna, we see him on the second day, right? He would go around and each person declares himself, I'm the Mazaka, and I'm Mazaka Bimkomi. Right? Then, in that context, and if we're confused of whether two people are Mazaka, that's where he brings it in. Right? But he brings it in, it would seem, that this point is necessary at the point of Masu Matan of the second day, not at the point of Gemar Din. He doesn't say that. I would have thought if that's what he meant, he would hone that point home. Can we prove, are there any Rambams that would prove that the Rambam does not learning this way, that as we're saying, that it goes by the amount of reasons for Schus. You're counting Tamim. How many Tamim are there for Schus? How many Tamim for Chov? But not people. We don't count people, we count time. How can you prove the Rambam doesn't hold the way? From the Rambam himself, that's not what the Rambam means. Take a look at Perek Yud Halacha Aleph and tell me what that shows. If you take a look at Perek Yud. Echad min ha-dayanin b'din nefash ha-shohayim min ha-mazakin o min ha-machayivin. Lo m'bnei sh'am ha-dav ha-nir lo b'dayto. Not because he said that which... makes sense to him. He didn't use his own mind. But he simply followed the words of his chaver. That is to say that somebody else that he considers to be a bigger Talmud Chacham than him. That's what the... And he says, I'll follow his das. His das is probably better than mine. I'll go along with what he says, rather than voting his own conscience, as they say, or his own mind. So I raise it over below Sasa. No, I'll do it. Each one has to vote according to what he thinks. V'al zeh nemar losana al riv lintos. Amru Shlo Toma B'Shas Minyan. You shouldn't say at the time of Minyan, Dai She'eyek Ishploni. That it's enough that I should be like Ishploni. Ela Emor Masha B'Fanecha. But rather say what you think. Now, it just seems to me strange. Then what do you need a separate Lo Sasa that I can't duplicate your point? That implies that if you were to do that, because this is something that's possible for someone, for a judge to do. I mean, only God knows. Am I agree? It's mashma from this. It would seem to me it's mashma from this that the power to do so exists. It's just that it's usher to do it. And you can claim, no, this is my view. You can claim this is my view. Not saying it because he said it, but in reality it could be that you decided that Rav Moshe is under, I can't go against Rav Moshe. I mean. But doesn't this imply that if you were to actually do so, then your vote counts? Because if not, what are you talking about? There's no need to have the Los Asa if it's meaningless anyways, because if you're just saying what he said, it doesn't count. You're eliminated anyways. This makes sense, right? This makes sense. Because it's lacking in Psakava. Psakava Bezdin means that every individual who's fit, who's qualified to be on the Bezdin, gives us Psak, and we add them up together, and we create a Psak Bezdin. Which means to say that you have to act as an independent Dayan, you have a Chiyav, that's what Mishpat is. And it's possible that he's greater than you, but it's possible in this particular case your view is correct. That's the way it is. So you're bound, if you can't, otherwise it's not a Horah, there's no Horah over here. You have to go, it's not a Horah to say, I vote like him. That's not a Horah. You're not giving a Horah. You have to give a Horah. And that Horah has to make sense to you. And it's an Avera. Losani, you know, to do that. What I'm merely saying, though, is that in a case like that, if I were to do that, okay, let's say I didn't know about this law. Possible, Dayan didn't know about this. And I made such a decision. And I said, I'm going to follow what he says. Does that not imply that it would be counted as two? Because if it's not going to be counted as two, what are you telling me? I'm not allowed to do it. There's no point in doing it anyways. I mean, what I'm not going to do that means I can't. If I'm precluded from doing so by the fact that I have to come up with something different. I can't say the same thing you said. I can't listen to the presentation. Tom, the pusik, the idea. If I get up and say, yeah, that's it. Makes perfect sense. By the way, there's no avera if you believe that to be true. There's no avera. There's nothing that says that you can't do that. I can listen to the presentation. I can have my own view. My sense that he's chayev apatik. But then I listen to the other presentation. I think it over. I said, that makes more sense to me. I vote like him. If I'm voting like him, because that's really my idea, just that he expressed it, or it's because I wouldn't have thought of it without him, that's fine. I think that's fine. I think what he means to say is when you're giving up, yeah, I'm giving up my own view and I'm just following him. Because I think he's superior to me. Now, that you know what to do. But my point is as follows. Doesn't this presuppose that there's some effect in doing so that's going to count as a vote? And it's a... You established a vote, either v'schus of chov, on a false basis, on the basis of copying it, as opposed to giving your own. Yeah, but if you're going to tell me that it doesn't count because it's the exact same thing that he said, so then what do I need this love altogether? The love implies that you're going to do something which will affect the outcome of the trial. It's going to be losan al riv. You're going to, it's something which corrupts mishpat. It's not going to be mishpat. It will affect the outcome of the trial. But in point of fact, it's not a true mishpat because it didn't come about as a result of a genuine hurrah. Well,
I can tell you exactly.
The problem of losana, according to the Rambam, is that to effectuate mishpat through this, it's evus mishpat. It's evus mishpat. It's a distortion of mishpat to effectuate an outcome of a trial which is not based upon the appropriate measures of what you're supposed to go through in order to establish hurrah. But according to this, and nothing's happening over here. It doesn't matter anyways if you copy somebody else, because you can't copy somebody else. But the truth is you can't copy somebody else because we're not going to count you if you copy somebody else. That's what he should have said. Suspense. Tashi. The Rambam discusses the issues, you know, if you can't get a majority going. Okay? Sanhedrin Katana. Shenech Kubadin Nefashos. You have, that's Katana means 23. Sanhedrin, which was divided. Shnei Masa Omrim Zakai. 12 say Zakai. V'yechad Asa Omrim Chayev. And 11 say Chayev. Harei Zeh Zakai. 12 to 1, just numbers. He's not mentioning anything about reasons. You read this, you don't get a sense that he's talking that there are 12 reasons versus 1 second versus 11 reasons. It's people. Shnei masa omrim chayev yechadas omrim zakai. If you have it the other way around, osha amru yechadas zakai yechadas chayev v'yechad omrim in yodeya. Then you have 11 11 a split, and one doesn't know. Afilo. Shnayim v'esr mezakin. Even if you have shnayim v'esr mezakin, even if you have 22 mezakin, omachay v'yechadar min yadeh yosif v'shnayim. You have to make addition, because you can't. You have to have 23. That's another thing. You have to have 23 people voting. Even if you have 22 voting, even if you have 22 voting for schus, and the 23rd person is any yadeh, you can't conclude the din. Even though whoever it is, it's not going to make a difference. It's not going to make a difference. We know the outcome. What's the difference? Even if this guy said whatever he said, it wouldn't count. Because you have to have every member of the Sanhedrin has to count, has to vote. So, I mean, according to this, that we're eliminating people, people that line up according to the same reason get eliminated, how does that work? So why aren't they any Odeas? And why don't we hit in that case? Why wouldn't the Rambam at this point give us another scenario which would force us to add to the Sanhedrin? That's scenario B, or if two said for the same reason. And we only count them as one, so then we have to add. Why is that? If you're eliminated because of that, why is that then any idea? What's the difference? You're not voting. In either case, you're not voting. Okay, 1 second. And you should go through this Rambam. But you do see that he goes through all the different scenarios, which would cause you to keep adding more dayanim, because you can't reach a decision. But again, it's v'chein mosif and v'holchin. You continue, he says, a few lines down, until the mezakin will increase by one, and the person will be innocent. Or yir v'mamachay v'shnaim, or the convictors will increase, because you have to have a majority of two for conviction, and it'll be chayiv. So I mean, it's the mezakin and the mechayivin. It's votes. It seems to be votes. And the idea that you're going to keep adding and adding, and each person that gets in there is going to be coming up with some new tam, it seems to be very, very difficult. Hayu elu kineged elu. If they were evenly matched. He says they keep adding until they reach 71. 71 is the highest they can go. Then they reach 71, and you have 33 saying innocent, and 35 saying Chayev, Harei, who Zakai. He's Zakai. You have 33 say Chayev, 35 say Zakai. Yeah. Look at that. This is the key point. Dun in Elu Keneged Elu. So they debate Ache Yira Echad Mayhen Divri Chavero until one of them sees the words of his friend. They accept the other position. Umazakin Oso, Machayvin Oso. Alright, Vim Lo Ra. In other words, what's the point of all this debate? What are they debating about? The whole notion of a debate, doesn't the idea of a debate make sense? That you're going to, for example, we say that the Malamed Schus, according to Rav, he can't switch positions during the Masa Mati. Why? So he should stick with his position. He should stick with his position, and he should strengthen it, and so on and so forth. Isn't the whole idea of the debate to try and either break down the other position, win them over to my position? Isn't that the idea? For example, what's the role of the Mezakin? We want to win you over to our position. But what good is winning it over to our position when in order to save him, we can't win you over to Moshiach. We just have to win you over to Schuss, and somehow or other you have to find a different reason for Schuss. That doesn't make sense. I can't do that. If my task, if I think the person is innocent, then I'm going to, that's my role in the debate. What's my role is going to try to convince you that he's innocent. Why? Because I'm going to try and show you that my reason is correct. Well, I may have to show you what's wrong with your reason. Fine. Then I have to convince you why my reason is the correct one. But you're telling me my role is to make you into someone who votes for innocence for an entirely different reason than I hold from? That doesn't make sense. If I hold from that reason, that would be my reason. But this doesn't make sense. The idea of Ron Elu Kineged Elu, they dine, right? They judge against each other until one of them sees the other guy's position. So what does he do? He accepts the other guy. But if he accepts the other guy's position, it only counts as one. It's not going to work. Unless you tell me, no, it works because he's no longer considered to be a Machayev. It doesn't seem to be that way. It does not seem to be that way. It means that you change the numbers, that you can switch. You can get a majority of two for Chov if somebody switches over. What does it mean he switches over? He switched over to somebody else's position. I have to say that. It means he came up with a new position of Chov. He'll never. That doesn't make sense. Again, in practical reality, it doesn't make sense. How many? Yeah, we're talking about 71 people over here. How many possible reasons could there be on one action? You're talking about someone who was Machal Shabbos. You're talking about someone who killed someone. There could be a few different reasons, aspects of halacha why he might be innocent. There could be a few why he might be guilty. You have a few arguments, a few different approaches, but it's limited. It's very limited. You can't have 35 reasons why he's innocent or guilty. That just doesn't make sense. And why should you require such a thing? It doesn't seem to make sense.